On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. The Fabulist would be Rob Center, our producer. He's doing a great job today, as always, and we know he'll do a few extra steps tomorrow. I get to take the day off tomorrow, which requires Rob to be vigilant to keep our good part-timers on the straight and narrow, so I really, really appreciate that. On the news line with us now, Samantha Pearson, Executive Director, Lewisburg Neighborhoods, Elm Street Manager, and Walk It, Bike It Coordinator, all yearning for the day when she calls in to talk about great rail trails and outdoor opportunities and traffic issues in the downtown and all these sort of things. But she's been really keeping us informed about the pandemic and how public health and common sense and just sound policy all intersect with hesitancy and maybe what I'll call non-compliance from time to time. So we're very, very appreciative of that. Samantha, thanks. Thank you for all of this. Good morning.
Good to talk to you, Mark.
Let me start out with a question, an unusual question. We had a big surge of COVID-19 around Christmas time and well into January, early part of February. You know, hundreds of people hospitalized around here. But now we've had tons of people vaccinated, and we've done some pretty good compliance, and a lot of mitigation continues. We know the numbers are going up around here, so can we go back to that big outbreak?
Yes. We don't have that many people vaccinated. We are working on vaccination, and of course there was really big news for Pennsylvania yesterday with announcements of impending expanded eligibility, even including starting right this instant for a couple categories from Phase 1B. But we are not in any way out of the woods, and we're seeing that in other parts of the world, both places like Brazil and France, you know, that have previously had outbreaks, have been working on some vaccination, and even like northern Michigan, but have not, they're still having a rise in cases again.
All right, so we still have to be vigilant and stay sharp. Explain what we should do now.
So, ideally, we should get vaccinated when it's your turn, and then until, you know, we have reached what's called immunity for the community, like enough vaccination to achieve herd immunity, you want to keep doing a lot of the things you've been doing, which means masking and avoiding indoor gatherings in public. And so, on the one hand, people are like, they might latch onto that and be like, well, I can have an indoor gathering in private. If everyone there is vaccinated, yes. Or if, like, one household is not vaccinated and also not at high risk or something like that, then you could gather in private. But you really don't want to be doing it in public because we just don't know either, mostly about the variants. We don't know about the impact of the variants on the vaccination in either direction. So you don't know whether, even though you're vaccinated, you could still present a threat to others or others could threaten you. So it's best to be in a situation where everyone is vaccinated, and that then, you know, you do have lots more options. But in general, we should keep up with masks and distancing and hygiene in public.
Tell me about the X factor of vaccine hesitancy. We have X percentage of the population is not going to receive a vaccine.
Sure. So on the one hand, people, you know, may be like, oh, well, I never get the flu shot. But what they don't realize is they probably, you know, there's sort of lingering immunity to the flu because it is endemic and ever always circulating. So it would be nice if more people got their flu shots. It would help people who can't get flu shots at all because they have autoimmune disorders or their, you know, other health issues or so that won't allow them to, or they're infants and they, you know, they can't get it yet. So parallel to that in with COVID is that we don't know exactly what number of people we need immunized to achieve herd immunity, but it's a pretty high number. We're estimating around 80-85%. There are people in the community that cannot take it for now, younger children. One of the vaccines just got approved for 12 and up, but, you know, 12 and under can't. there are also people with immune disorders or severe allergic reactions to certain things that won't be able to take it. There's sort of this thought, oh, well, you know, some people can't take it. I'll just be in that group that can't slash won't. But it's a small sliver, or it needs to be a small sliver for the rest of us to achieve herd immunity. Now, other people are like, well, I'm not really at risk. I'll get it, and it'll just be a cold. Your getting it contributes to the risk to the people who can't get vaccinated. So we need people to get the vaccine for other people. I know that's a tall order. Apparently we can't wear masks for other people either. So that's sort of where we stand. We're all in this together. We need to get to herd immunity and community immunity, and we do that by protecting each other by getting vaccinated.
Well,
everyone wants to.
Well, it's this overriding self-interest. You know, I don't want to wear a mask. I might not like the appearance of it, or feel as though I'm some kind of sheep if I wear a mask, or if I'm suddenly concerned about other people's health. You know, that makes me look weak.
Well, usually the sheep comment comes in, or that it's that they feel that they're being pressured to wear it for their own health, and they have some sort of, you know, great strength or, you know, fortitude or something.
Or they're just not worried about it.
Yes, right, which is also seen as somehow a, we don't have to psychoanalyze people. Basically, we do have evidence that there are a number of different groups across the country that are less interested, and it just so happens in some places, some of those groups, there are more people in that category. In some areas, we have issues with minority communities not being somewhat hesitant, although their hesitancy has been dropping over the last few months. Whereas then there's other groups that we have in large numbers here, in particular, rural conservative men, and especially younger, say 20 to 39, but you know, the whole constellation that we have that in spades in our area, and those are people who statistically are not so interested, and that's holding. It doesn't seem to be dropping, their lack of interest. We are hoping to change that. We're hoping that we can, you know, tip that upward and get more and more people interested in getting vaccinated. And the reality is, we don't have to have them interested right this instant. I mean, we'd like them interested, but we're still rolling out supply, so we're going to need them to be willing to get vaccinated once we have, you know, big vaccination sites and lots of supply available in coming weeks.
Maybe they haven't heard this. Listen to this, Samantha.
Yeah, I would recommend it, and I would recommend it to a lot of people that don't want to get it, and a lot of those people voted for me, frankly. But, you know, again, we have our freedoms, and we have to live by that, and I agree with that also. But it's a great vaccine, it's a safe vaccine, and it's something that works.
That's courtesy of Fox News. So we have, one of the leaders of conservatives in the USA, you know, who's claims great credit for the vaccine and has taken the vaccine, saying get it, but you have conservatives saying, no, I can't do it, it's a political issue.
Well, in fact, actually, people may also know the name Frank Luntz, who's a Republican pollster. He's been, you know, polling people for decades. He is very involved and engaged in this, very interested in making sure people get vaccinated. He is working with the de Beaumont Foundation, a public health foundation, and they started doing polling on this in November, and he found lots of skeptics. So he has been tracking and getting a lot of the data nationally about, there are multiple different polls, but he's one of them, getting about vaccine hesitancy and uptake. And he just did a focus group, and he had thought before he was doing the focus group with Trump voters specifically that having Trump say get it would tip the balance for them. But what he found in the focus group was that group in particular was not interested in hearing from any politicians, certainly not on the left, but also not like Kevin McCarthy, and not the only one maybe on the right that sort of helped was Chris Christie, who had a very personal story to tell about it with his own experience getting ill. But in general, they were much more swayed by what they saw as an anonymous scientist, Tom Frieden, former director of the CDC, but, you know, definitely not Anthony Fauci, who's now seen as politicized. And I think the idea was that Tom Friedman allows people to say, oh, it's not political, which it isn't. It is not political. This is just something we need to do. There's sort of a get or done attitude, you know, in Central PA, and it seems like we should be able to do this.
Well, I encourage people to go back to current and previous issues of Radio Free Lewisburg, where some of the analysis you're offering today has been talked about, presented, interviews held, and lots of information on that. Just a moment left on this particular segment. It's always possible some members of our audience won't hear the second segment. Any particular important message you'd like to pass on today?
Mostly that, you know, we hear you. Everyone wants to get out there and be doing things. We're going to have activities coming up. Check our website, lewisburgneighborhoods.org. We've got a mix of activities and COVID information and figuring out how to balance those two.
All right. Well, fabulous. Well, thank you for that. You stand by. I'll put you on hold, and we're coming back at 7:40 this morning. We'll talk about the rise in COVID-19 cases around here, what the numbers really mean, what they're showing, who's getting the disease these days. We'll talk about that. Plus, again, this opening up of the vaccinations in Pennsylvania to all of the categories in the next 3 weeks or so. So we'll talk about exactly what that really means for everybody coming up. Samantha Pearson, our guest, Executive Director, Lewisburg Neighborhoods, lewisburgneighborhoods.org, their website, the podcast, Radio Free Lewisburg. You can connect to that when you are on lewisburgneighborhoods.org.
This is WKOK Sunrise, on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center, gluing the pieces together, making sure the podcast for the WKOK Sunrise program is up to date. Tomorrow, he'll take care of the podcast for the On the Mark show. And as always, all of his helps and hard work, very much appreciated. Back on the news line with us now, Samantha Pearson, Executive Director of Lewisburg Neighborhoods, Elm Street Manager and Walk It, Bike It Coordinator. If you have any questions or observations for her, lewisburgneighborhoods.org, a very active Contact Us segment on their page. So lots of folks use that to stay in touch with good information. And the page is full of all kinds of great information, statistics, links to important places, places where you can even comment if you so choose. So it's a busy place, and lewisburgneighborhoods.org, a go-to place. And the podcast has been active in previous weeks, too. Radio Free Lewisburg was a real go-to place, really, during the height of information dissemination about how to stay safe with the pandemic, and they've presented some good stories since then. So good morning, Samantha. Thanks for checking in today.
Good morning, Mark.
We do see some of the local cases are rising around here in terms of the numbers in some of the counties, but it seems like the Pennsylvania's outbreak is elsewhere. Dig into the local and state numbers for us, if you would, please.
Sure. So, yes, we're sort of bumping along, and what we have to keep in mind is that we're bumping along at what can be described still as, you know, a very high level. It's low compared to what was characterized as extremely high over, you know, December, basically. But we're not down to where we were even, you know, in the summer last year, where we were really at a low level. We were sort of keeping things, it wasn't spreading that much. There wasn't that much around, so when people were engaging in risky behavior, it didn't have as many consequences. Right now, that's the catch, is that the same risky behavior has the potential for more consequences. Again, you know, we're working on the vaccination, so we're hoping that we're getting to where there'll be fewer consequences, fewer severe consequences. But we're still, you know, around 36% of our 65-plus population in Union County being fully vaccinated, whereas there are a number of counties in the state that are over 50%, even some that are, you know, almost 60% fully vaccinated for 65-plus. So we're at half that. So there's a lot of room. And then again, to protect the people who can't get vaccinated, we need the younger people to also get vaccinated. So our county is around 20%. in that age group, and actually that's pretty similar. There are a couple places where the 18 plus percentage fully vaccinated is more like 30%. Montour County is an outlier, but that's partly because it's so tiny and has so many healthcare workers that number gets a little bit higher there.
One of our listeners, please continue.
Sorry. Yeah, I just wanted to say you mentioned so are outbreaks happening elsewhere. It depends if you feel like Center County is elsewhere, right? We do know that there is the B117 UK variant present in the outbreak in Center County right now. We're hoping it doesn't continue to rise, and we're hoping, again, for fewer consequences, especially since Center is doing better so far on vaccination for older people.
Center County isn't really elsewhere if you're in Millmont, I suppose. it's over there. So, okay. I lost the question I was going to ask you. Okay. Well, Pennsylvania, this is it. One of our listeners sent us a note and says, my parents had a great deal of trouble getting scheduled for a vaccine, but did eventually find them and they got their vaccine. Is there a simple way for me to sign up for a vaccine appointment?
You know, I really want to be able to say yes, and I really want to be able to say what it is, but I don't know yet.
Okay.
We have been compiling what the options have been, and we've been trying to make it easier. So, in fact, we've been sharing information from the Lycoming County Health Improvement Coalition. They've been actually making a list rather than using the interactive map online to make a list that's a little bit easier for less computer savvy people to access. So the list includes phone numbers as well as websites and emails for the different vaccine providers in the area. And they update it, you know, the interactive map gets updated daily, but on the Department of Health website, but they update this list twice a week. We're now doing that, just rolling that out for Union, Snyder, Northumberland, and Montour. We expect there will be many more providers showing up on it shortly, and then we're working on posting that on our website. Right now, Union County is included on the Lycoming County list of surrounding counties. So the answer is, as soon as we know, we will let people know. And we have been sharing. There's Vax Standby, which is a website that helps get people connected. Certainly connecting to your existing healthcare provider. People have been signing up either on Evan or Mike Geisinger. The critical thing is you're not really supposed to sign up until you're eligible. So we have impending eligibility for pretty much everyone in the next couple weeks. So I will let people know as soon as I know.
So if I were going to not stay in compliance with where I'm supposed to be in line, I could go to Mike Geisinger now and schedule an appointment after the 19th?
So that's the question. I don't think they're letting us do that yet.
Okay.
Right? I think that's what we're looking forward to. Will we be able to do the scheduling in an anticipatory way? Right now, for example, if you know, there's sign-ups for CVS's website, there's sign-ups for Rite Aid. If you look at the Lewisburg Neighborhoods website, we have two posts about finding vaccines. And again, one is from February, so the worst scavenger hunt vaccine appointments, and the more recent one is Patients Grasshopper. And so those do have links to various sign-up sites, but up till now, it has been a process of doing all the things, and we're hoping that simplifies somewhat, but we don't know yet. Right now, you know, this rollout is sort of, right now, you mentioned already in your newscast, you know, that we're adding firefighters, law enforcement, grocery store workers, and food and ag workers. As of this instance, they can go on CVS and Milton and, you know, get an appointment. But Monday, all the rest of 1B, which includes people in congregate living settings, it includes higher education, it includes, you know, many more people, I think they can't really, really sign up. They won't be able to literally make an appointment. They could get on a list, but they won't be able to make an appointment until Monday. But hopefully that will we'll sort of get in a position where we can start lining appointments up for when we know we're going to be eligible pretty soon. I feel like this shift to broadening eligibility yesterday is presaging a lot of new opportunities.
I can't help but think that this is a missed opportunity in our state government to have made this easier for people to get signed up for an appointment.
Sigh, yes. everyone's like, this is mismanaged, and it's like, it's a disaster. I will say that we are sort of in the middle of the pack in terms of our level of disaster. Like, everyone is doing a bad job. There are a few standouts. New Mexico has done an amazing job. West Virginia, at least early on, was doing quite well. And then there are a few states that are lagging really badly, in particular Georgia, Utah, and maybe Tennessee. So, but everyone else is sort of in the middle. We all have different challenges. You know, West Virginia has, a more isolated, spread-out population. They have focused on getting vaccine to local pharmacies. We have a combination of rural, isolated, and densely packed urban. So we have to have a lot of different strategies, both mass vaccination clinics, and also trying to work with local providers. So no one has done this well. We're all, but you and I can. And what is it called? Monday morning quarterbacking?
I'm good at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I wish we had better ways of signing up. I wish we had better messaging. I would like to defer all of that to other people. But in the absence of that, I think that the most critical thing is getting the supply in place and rolling that out. So it wouldn't make sense to have a good sign up if you had no supply. So getting the supply was the most critical thing to happen first. And I think, people who are really eager to get signed up are going to work hard at that and hopefully help their neighbors and people who they know who are, have more trouble. And then we're going to be, once we get to where the hesitant people are, we're hoping to get them signed up, I bet it's going to be really easy. We're going to have it all figured out by then.
Okay. You have a moment left. Activities, things going on in the outdoors. What's happening in the world in the days and weeks ahead?
Sure. We have a post about cleanups coming up on our website, and one of them is actually this Saturday, starting at 1:30 in Kidsburg. We're going to do a community cleanup. Then there's a rail trail cleanup the next weekend and a river cleanup in Sunbury the week after that. Those are with different partners of ours in the area. We're also doing more stuff with chalk art at the piers by the rail trail in Lewisburg on April 24th. And we're doing a lot of planting, lots of seedling and little bare root treelets with the Pennsylvania Interfaith Power and Light Group. So all of those things are rolling out. Some of those opportunities are a little bit catch as catch can. We have a few of the plantings we haven't really publicized clearly, but because there's a lot of uncertainty, we don't know exactly when the trees come. We have to schedule things and then hope we get the trees. And then we got a whole bunch of trees earlier than we thought. So we've already done some planting on the rail trail. We're going to continue to be planting in all different places, so people can stay tuned for that, with a big focus on April 22nd, which is a Thursday, Earth Day, from 4 to 6, and also Arbor Day, April 30th, from 4 to 6 p.m.
All right, well, you can check in any day you wish on our Sunrise program with updates on any of the topics we discussed. You're welcome to check in or suggest a guest. We'll keep this information going as best we can at all times. Thank you so much, Samantha. Thanks for all you're doing.
Good talking to you again, Mark.
Samantha Pearson, Executive Director, Lewisburg Neighborhoods, Elm Street Manager, and Walk It, Bike It Coordinator, LewisburgNeighborhoods.org.